Welcome back, everybody. The next question I have is for Keith. At the beginning, you'd mentioned that foreign aid was not reformable, in your opinion. So what alternative mechanisms, if any, would you propose to replace the role in foreign aid, specifically with what Cenk had mentioned, with moral issues, national security, economics, and the American brand?
The primary thing that I would focus on is the concept of free trade. If you look at the countries we trade the most with, Mexico, Canada, and China, you see that this is not a result of the countries we give the most aid to were then able to trade the most with. We can have trade without the U.S. government taking money from the domestic population and giving it to people in other countries. In the case of child mortality, we saw child mortality drastically drop in Western Europe and in America, not because there were other countries in the 1800s and early 1900s giving us foreign aid from their taxpayer base, but because we embraced a system that was much closer with private property, the right to contract, and voluntary exchange. This is how child mortality actually decreases once you allow for the nation's productive capacities to be unleashed and you're allowed to freely trade with other people. If you look at how, just as the cost of computers and the cost of cell phones and the cost of televisions have drastically decreased and allowed more people to access those things because of a lot of free trade agreements that we do have with other countries, the same exact thing could be done with medicine. This is a genuine way increase access to hundreds of millions of people worldwide through the concept of free trade. I do want to ask Cenk one thing, because I'm curious how we can differentiate between something that is currently bad and in need of reform versus something that is inherently bad and should be abolished. I'm thinking right after the IDF started bombing Rafah, after telling everyone in Gaza they got to get to the south so they could bomb the north, then they started bombing the south. Cenk said if the IDF tries to ethnically cleanse Palestinians into Egypt, that he would be so furious he would actually support a tax revolt. Am I remembering that correctly, sir? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So there is a point at which you can look at the actions of an organization and say, their actions are so egregious, there is so little accountability, reform would be so astronomically costly for so many people that it's much better to just make it so these groups can still get funding, but they have to do it through the voluntary market process. I can't get any money from the Young Turks unless I find a way to make a voluntary exchange with you guys. Just as Walmart and the Catholic Church and Amazon, big companies that want to, they have big projects and they help a lot of poor people with the products and services they create. All I'm saying is take these aid agencies and turn them away from answering to the government, which has very little incentive to please consumers, and make them answer directly to consumers instead of allowing politicians to take from consumers and have the entrepreneurs start answering to politicians. It's the old expression, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So if customers are paying the piper, the businesses, well, we can complain. If they don't accept our complaints, we could go to a competitor. Governments don't face that discipline. So this is my justification. One, the amount of atrocities in Gaza, as you've outlined numerous times on Piers Morgan's show, it's not just the number of atrocities, but the incentives and constraints that the government is not disciplined with, that the market is. So that is my general explanation. Embrace free trade. Don't be sanctioning Russia, kicking them out of SWIFT. Donald Trump came out the other day and said, you know, Iran's got a lot of oil that they could trade with. So now apparently it's okay for Iran to start trading. We should embrace free trade and reject foreign aid because of the incentives that producers face. We want them answering to customers, not to politicians.
Thank you, Keith. Would you like to respond, Mike or Cenk?
Sure, I'll respond to some of the things because he was addressing some of the stuff that I said. Sure. So look, guys, we got to cut harmful things first. And then if you say there are harmful things within USAID, again, I'm super happy to cut that, right? So to Keith's point there, I mean, we spend about half of the remaining USAID budget, the equivalent of half of it, to pay for a genocide in Gaza. How does that help anybody? Doesn't help anybody at all. And my God, it gets the whole world to hate us. So there's just a mountain of abuses within the government to cut, a mountain of waste, a mountain of corruption. And you guys are, in my opinion, attacking a program that has some of that. But the overall haystack, again, 25 million lives saved on just the HIV program alone. We're helping to fight cholera outbreaks, malaria, tuberculosis, so many of these things, maternal health, child health. Like, you're looking at the very worst place, in my opinion, to start the cuts and to throw out the entire program. If you said to me, throw out the entire program of helping Israel, I said, oh my God, that's a no-brainer. Of course, right? Because it's not because I don't think Israel can use any help, but the great majority of that quote-unquote help is military. And we've given over $34 billion in the last 12 months alone to Israel. And it doesn't even help Israel because we're enabling them their worst instincts. And it's causing grave harm to Israel, let alone the Palestinians, let alone the world, et cetera. So there are some programs that are nearly 100% wrong and like obviously overwhelmingly wrong. And if you said, hey, yeah, but there's some things we help Israel with that maybe helps them have paid family leave, even though we don't have it, and universal health care, even though we don't have it, I'd say, well, I'm glad they have paid family leave and universal health care. But overall, the aid that we've given Israel has been about 96% harmful. So I just give that as one of literally hundreds of examples I can give you where, yeah, there is no baby. There's just toxic bathwater. Throw it out, right? USAID is among the worst places to do that because there's so many positive things that happen there. And the last thing in addressing what Keith said is that, look, brother, there's so many things that I agree with libertarians on these days, including anti-war. And, from your organization, Dave Smith, Scott Horton, amazing, wonderful work, right? But when you guys talk about just like the markets will fix everything, let me just give you one quick example. I had the privilege of interviewing Jimmy Carter in his presidential library about right around the time where the Carter Foundation had nearly eradicated Guinea worm disease. So this is a disease that's in the water in Africa and Asia. Most of us don't know about it because it doesn't affect us, but it affects millions and millions of people in the world, or it did. And a bacteria gets in the water and into your system once you drink it. And then worms form inside your body and they eventually break out. And it's just the most disgusting thing, but at least the infections, it's incredibly painful, leads to death, et cetera. And when I asked him, why did you pick that one, President Carter, to work on? He said, because there was no profit motive. Once you solve it, they can't keep selling drugs to help fix it. So if we didn't do it, no one was going to do it. So the markets don't solve everything. Markets solve a lot of things, and that's why I'm a capitalist. But they don't solve everything. That's why you need a government. That's why you need charitable organizations like the Carter Foundation. But they don't have enough resources to be able to solve all the problems that we're talking about here. And that's why, yes, sometimes you need the U.S. government to do wonderful things and not just awful things. And those wonderful things also have great advantages for us morally, economically, and security-wise.
Well, that would mean that any company or any group that's in the private sector, that would mean they have the right to issue taxes on the income of Americans. I could say, the Catholic Church has done so much to help people. The Protestant churches have done so much to help. Mormon churches have done so much to help. Walmart has given so many cheap goods to people at very low incomes. Therefore, Walmart should get $100 billion a year from taxpayer money, and they should continue to do that work. And every 4 years, we'll try and argue who the Walmart CEO should be. Notice you're writing a near blank check to people who no longer have to earn money on a voluntary basis. So my solution is voluntary charity. That's how you can actually meet the equilibrium between giving people enough money to meet their demand and try to influence people to behave in positive ways, to invest in things that are very productive. That's one means that charity can be achieved. And it allows people to opt out when things are so horrible. I mean, if we can't say that foreign aid is so bad because one, it's funding an ethnic cleansing operation in Gaza, and two, the guy getting the money for $100 billion in foreign aid, Volodymyr Zelensky, came out on November 15th of 2022 and said, Russia just bombed Poland, a NATO country, and NATO must respond. Lloyd Austin later came out and said, this actually was a Ukrainian defense missile that killed two Polish civilians, but ultimately Putin is still responsible. So in defending foreign aid, you're claiming that some people have a right to take money without meeting demand in exchange. Two, they can fund a genocide and will just argue over where and where it should not be cut. And they can attempt to provoke a nuclear war with a nuclear power between Russia and America. At some point, you have to say, you know what? Instead of arguing for Jim Crow reform laws, we should abolish Jim Crow. Instead of saying the Ku Klux Klan needs a new Grand Dragon, it's an inherently evil organization that should not exist. Same thing applies to foreign aid.
Keep the healthcare, lose the CIA. Keith.
Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, fortunately, there are a lot of companies that voluntarily produce products and services that can be used in healthcare. If we look at healthcare specifically, we can look at things that are insured, which the state heavily regulates, a lot of surgeries, a lot of cancer treatments, or you can look at cosmetics, which are less regulated and not covered by insurance. We see a much more drastic decrease in the cost of cosmetics because it's on much more of a free market. There's more competition. When there's more competition, the greediest person in the world still has to have a lower price. Walmart is extremely greedy, but they still have lower prices because that's how you're able to increase the access that people have to your products and services. So again, all of these ends could be achieved voluntarily. How many left-wingers are there on planet Earth? Can they not have a GoFundMe to support all of the operations that they are really so allegedly passionate about without siphoning some of the money to fund an operation that's just engaged in ethnic cleansing in Gaza? Consider these words were spoken by Lindsey Graham. Here's the mindset of someone who has access to a tax base where people, regardless of how they feel, don't have the right to opt out. Lindsey Graham said, he's speaking to a brigade of fighters in Ukraine in 2017. He said, your fight is our fight. 2017 will be the year of offense. All of us will go back to Washington and we will push the case against Russia. Enough of Russian aggression. It is time for them to pay a heavier price. Our fight is not with the Russian people, but with Putin. Our promise to you is to take your cause to Washington, inform the American people of your bravery, and make the case against Putin to the world. This is the mindset that you get. These are the psychopaths you attract when there is such a large amount of money with so little accountability. Dr. Ben Powell from the University of Texas was summarizing an article in Parade. He summarized it as follows. Overall, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development countries contributed aid to every one of Parade magazine's 20 worst dictators. Combined, these leaders received nearly $55 billion in aid. The United States contributed to 19 of the 20 worst dictators. I don't know how many empirical examples of atrocities we would have to put forth between Mike and myself to get people to say that this is something inherently bad. I mean, I've seen a number of interviews with women who are in violently abusive relationships, and they almost all say the same thing of, well, he gave me so many benefits. He gave me a car. He gave me access to a house. At some point, even though you're reaping some benefits from an abusive relationship, you have to say the costs are too damn high and we have to disassociate with these people, whether it's an abusive boyfriend or people actively provoking world wars with Iran, Russia, China, and engaging in an ethnic cleansing operation in Gaza. Support the abolition of funding foreign aid. The people who control the money don't have the knowledge or incentives to ever provide a good service. In opposition, you can support not sanctioning other countries, and encouraging free trade.